Are we asking the right questions on youth unemployment? That is a question being posed today by the Center for Development and Enterprise, whose executive director is Anne Bernstein. I would hasten to say no, and we're not finding the right answers either, but you don't get the right answers unless you're asking the right questions, Anne Bernstein.
Well, good evening, Bruce. You're absolutely right. I think the big question is scale. So people want you, we talk a lot about youth unemployment. There are all sorts of projects and initiatives, many of which are excellent, but nobody's getting to scale. Over the last decade, before COVID, we lost 500,000 jobs for young people. So 2.2 million entered the labor market, but we actually, the number employed dropped by 500,000. So the situation is really dire, and we think we have to take this much more seriously. It's a human catastrophe. It's a national catastrophe, and we should talk less and do more.
All right, let's talk less and tell me what we need to be doing.
Look, a lot of people like to compartmentalize youth unemployment as though somehow you can talk about it separately and fix it separately from fixing the big issues in our economy. We have to get faster growth. Harder now because of COVID, but we have to look for the opportunities. And we've got to make the reforms required to do that. But we also have to encourage employers to employ people, not use capital. So we've got to think differently, and we have to get a much more job-rich economy. And then within that, there are things we can do. We've got to look at our skills system, not just the basic education, which is terrible, but what if the skills we're giving people who might not have matric or just got matric, skills for work. So the relationship between training institutions and companies has to be much stronger, and we have to fix the TVETs that aren't working and are very expensive. We have to fix the CETAs as well. We have to look at short courses for lots and lots of young people. The one incentive we have for employment is the employment tax incentive, which is not a panacea, but we think it's showing that the price of labor actually matters for how many people you employ. And we should expand this initiative, include more people in it, and let the participants benefit from it for longer.
Whenever we see reports like this, Anne, it just seems to be that we need to do 500 things. And yes, of course, we need to do 500 things. And we have to do all of those simultaneously, and we have to do them yesterday. The trouble with that is we get so intimidated and so overwrought and overburdened by the scale of the problem that we just don't get started. How do we start this journey? The one step, the journey of 1,000 miles, starts with a single step. What is that single step?
Well, I think the immediate single step, in addition to taking bold reforms for the economy, is to encourage employers to hire people. And that means we have to look at how we manage the labor market. We must stop applying collective bargaining agreements to small firms who are not party to them. And we need to look at much more labor-intensive manufacturing. So South African manufacturing has an opportunity post-COVID, during COVID, because supply chains have been disrupted all over the world. And if we could say, let's try and get into the low-skill manufacturing for Africa into global supply chains, we might just have a chance. And that could get quite a lot of jobs going. But we have to make the changes to make us competitive in that area.
It's not politically attractive, though, to do the real hard slog, because what you're requiring there is real work to do small incremental gains and to get people lousy jobs. People want cool IT jobs. They want the fourth industrial revolution jobs. They want the stuff that, you know, you put on your CV and you are the next Steve Jobs. I mean, at least that's what we're led to believe is the quick fix. Unfortunately, I mean, this is a really boring, laborious, agonizing, painful, slow, sluggish, and sometimes demeaning process.
Well, it depends how you look at it, and often how you phrase the reality and the facts will shape the solution. So, for example, we think there are over 6 million young people who would take a job if they were offered it today at current wages and not a sexy job. So maybe with it's 5 million, okay? But we think you've got to distinguish between people who have a university degree and those kinds of issues of how they get into their first job. But I'm mainly talking about young people who don't have a degree, who've got matric or have got less than matric, and they're desperate to get connected into the modern economy, even with what you might call a terrible job, but is actually a lot better than sitting around with absolutely no hope whatsoever. So young people are kind of trying all sorts of things to kind of get connected or get a job or get some money. But if we can get them into steady employment, that would make an enormous difference. And I think there are more than enough people who want those jobs. Look at the expanded public works program. We were told at the beginning, oh, nobody'd want these terrible jobs digging ditches and picking up litter and all sorts of things at a very low wage. And yet we have more people applying for those jobs than we can accommodate.
And again, I was being facetious for effect, because you know the idea of, you know, the first job, and I mean the stats will show it up. The stats show it constantly that getting your first job is the hardest job you're ever going to have to get, because after that you have connections, friends, potentially a network, and you can, you know, leverage your first job into a second job. Without that critical first job, no matter what the job is, the odds of ever really becoming gainfully employed over a long period of time are quite small.
So, Bruce, I think, you know, you make a valid point about too many lists and too many things to do. It's intimidating. I would say one big thing, which is for the last decade at least, if not longer, South Africa's had job summits, we've had presidential summits, we've had all sorts of things about employment and especially youth employment, and everyone talks and talks and talks about it. But what do they actually do? They tweak at the edges. And we're saying you have to look at the realities of South Africa and start to do the hard things if we are ever to start turning the dial on youth unemployment.
My thanks to Anne Bernstein, who is Executive Director at the Centre for Development and Enterprise, this evening on The Money Show.